keyed in on the phrase that freedom is what the purpose is that Christ came to set us free. It is for that purpose, freedom. And we have some responsibilities. And then we looked last week, as we get into chapter 6, it's really the first time that he's talked about personal responsibilities within the community of faith. Up until that point, it was my responsibility and my relationship with Christ that I was dealing with in chapter 5. Chapter 6, he's dealing with personal responsibilities that we have to one another. And the first community responsibility that we looked at last week was the idea of restoring the fallen. And that was the point of confrontation. And in the midst of that confrontation, there are these two verses that leap out at us and talk about bearing burdens. Verse 2 and verse 5, bearing one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ, or each one shall bear his own burden or his own load. As we look at those two verses, it seems almost like a contradictory statement between the two. But if we stop and look at the wording and the words that are used in the Greek language, it becomes very obvious. The word burden in verse 2 is a word for an excessive weight beyond any one person's capability of carrying. It is a huge amount of weight. And so that attitude is, bear one another's burden, is help one another bear what one person cannot bear. And in doing this, fulfill the law of Christ. In the word in verse 5 that is in the New American Standard says load, one shall bear his own load. In the King James, it says burden. It's a different word, though, than that used in verse 2. The word used in verse 5 is really a military term that talked about a day pack. An individual personal day pack that someone was to carry as their own resource and own personal items in their day pack. And so as he says that, each one shall bear his own day pack. So we see that there is a difference there. And the issue here is what we bear, how we bear it also. In fact, Jesus bore his cross. It says that in John chapter 17, that Jesus came out of Jerusalem bearing his own cross. The word bear comes with the concept of doing it willingly. Jesus bore his own cross. No one made him do it. He did it willingly. And it comes with the concept also that willingly I choose to do it, even though I know that it may involve some difficulties, it may involve some heartaches, it may involve some personal sacrifice, but I make a conscious choice to do it anyway. That's what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew that it was going to cost him his life. He talked to the Father about it. He dealt with it in pain and in agony. And yet at the same time, he came down to it and he said, I'm willing to do it if it's necessary to be done. Even though it's going to cost me greatly, I'm willing to do it. And so as he comes to this passage of Scripture and he's talking about bearing one another's burdens, he's talking about choosing to do something even though you know it may be something difficult for you to do. It may cost you personally to do something for somebody else. But he's also talking about in this passage of Scripture, as we looked at last week, that it's within the context of a relationship. That bearing one another's burdens, or bearing my own load, is within the context of relationship. It has to fall within this idea of confrontation, of restoring the fallen, that I bear someone's burden. And so it's within this relationship that I earn not only the right, but the responsibility to confront and to deal with the problems in each other's lives, but I also have a responsibility to bear that burden. It gives the idea there that a burden may be that which we fall into as a trespass. Someone that is caught in a trespass ends up carrying the burden of that trespass. And we are to help them bear that burden. But we're not to put off our own load on someone else in doing that. I want to look at three things that deal with bearing burdens as a community responsibility. The first thing I want to look at is this concept of fulfill the law of Christ. The second thing we'll look at is how we bear one another's burdens. And the third thing is the concept of carrying our own load. Fulfill the law of Christ, Paul seems to throw a twist into the writing of Galatians. All of a sudden, he's talking about a law when he's talked all in the past about not being under the law. He says we're not under law. We're not to be submitted to the law. We're over the law, beyond the law. We're in grace, and we're not in legalism. And then all of a sudden he comes to this point and he says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. So it would be coming to your thinking, well, my goodness, here we are under a law. We've just changed laws. We're gone from the law of Moses or the Old Testament law to the law of Christ. But that's not what he's talking about. When he talks about the law of Christ, I believe there's essentially two elements that he's talking about. One is the command of love. Now, we looked last week that you cannot command love. I mean, you can't command love. You can command action, but you cannot command what is somebody's going to do on the inside. You can't say, you're going to love one another. And yet, many times we think that's what Jesus taught. For instance, in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And most of the time, what we emphasize, or what I have emphasized in the past, is this is the commandment of Jesus. It is the law of Christ. But you know what I believe the emphasis of that passage of Scripture is? I believe it's on, even as I have loved you. Not on the commandment of a new commandment that he's given. And what I believe he's talking about is in this fulfilling the law of Christ, it's within the relationship that I have with Christ. Even as he has loved me, even as I have experienced that love, then that love will motivate me to love other people and to love the body of Christ. And so how I love the body of Christ really is determined by how I've experienced what he has given me. And so if I've experienced what he's given me, then I will extend it further into the body of Christ. Maybe the problem has been in the past that I haven't really experienced what he's given me freely, therefore I haven't freely extended it to the body of Christ. And maybe that's the problem with part of the body of Christ, is that we're still underneath the commandment rather than underneath the experience of this relationship that we have with God. And as we've experienced this relationship, then it automatically moves us and motivates us into a relationship with one another, willing to confront one another and willing to bear one another's burdens. Second aspect, I think, of fulfilling the law of Christ is that Christ is a person. Unlike the written law was a code of ethics that were rules and regulations that were extended on the basis of getting blessings or cursings. I mean, that's basically what we do. We think we do something good, God blesses us. We do something bad, God curses us. That's the written law. The law of Christ is not a submission to a written law. It's a submission to a person. And that person is this relationship that I have with him. And as I view Christ, I have to see who he really is in order to have this relationship honestly. So I look back in the New Testament when he first came in John chapter 1, and it says that he came and he revealed to us in the fullness of grace and truth. And so as I relate to Christ in the full and to fulfill the law of Christ, I am in a relationship based upon grace and truth. And through that grace and truth, I now have the grace and the truth, the ability to relate to the body of Christ in the way that any way that Scripture gives it, whether it's confronting on the basis of somebody being caught in a trespass, or being confronted on the basis of me being caught in a trespass, or whether it's bearing one another's burdens, not thinking too much of myself, judging my own work, boasting only within my own self, and not comparing myself with somebody else. So in the process of this, I have this ability. On the basis of love, on the basis of grace, and on the basis of truth, this is what I believe is the fulfilling of the law of Christ in our relationships. It's not a code of ethics. We don't carry burdens in order to be good with God. We don't do that. We're already good with God based upon Jesus carrying the burden of the cross. That's what made us good with God. We carry burdens because we've experienced that relationship. And based on that love and that grace and that truth, then we carry the burdens of other people. But what does it really mean? Bear one another's burdens. Well, a lot of times we think it means weakness. Much like someone saying, oh, you don't look very healthy. You better not be trying to lift this big couch. We think it's an implication of weakness. Well, in one aspect, I guess you could say, because in Romans chapter 15, verse 1, it says those who are strong should bear with those who are weaker and in the faith. But that has nothing to do with what we're talking about in this passage of Scripture. Because what we're talking about in this passage of Scripture is not an aspect of saying I'm weak. It's an aspect of saying through the course of life, I've been caught in a trespass. Through the course of life, something has happened, and I've ended up with a burden that is more than one person can carry. It doesn't always have to be negative. It can be something like the cross. Jesus didn't do anything wrong to get the cross. And sometimes it's not a matter of we do something wrong. We live in a fallen society. We live in a fallen world. It's a universe that is plagued with sin. And because of that, things happen. And sometimes it comes upon us, and it's like the Morton Salt commercial. You know, when it rains, it pours. And you just sometimes wonder, what in the world, what else could go wrong? And then you say, oh, I really don't mean that now. I don't want to see what else can go wrong. And so we have sometimes more than what we can carry. You know, there's an assumption here in this passage of Scripture that bear one another's burdens. There is the assumption, just like there is in verse 1 about being caught in a trespass and you who are spiritual, the assumption is every single one of us sometime in our life will need help bearing burdens. It's not a sign of weakness. But let's look at two different things about bearing one another's burdens. Number one, I want to look at what it does not mean. I want to look at five things that it does not mean, and then I want to look at three things that what it does mean. I believe that the church, as we know it in America today, mostly anyway, not, it's hard to make a general statement, but I would say the majority of the time, as we know the church, the organized church in America today, it has become one of the most codependent systems on the face of the earth. We have created a system in the past in America where we have assumed responsibility where there is not to be responsibility assumed. And we've assumed our identity on the basis of things that have nothing to do with our identity. So what does it not mean to bear one another's burdens? Well, number one, I believe, my opinion is that it does not mean relieving others of their responsibility. Every person in the body of Christ has responsibility. And our responsibility is to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And as we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. But there are times in our life when we get caught in a trespass, when we get caught in a trap. That meaning the desires of our flesh now have overridden our walking in the Spirit, and now we have fallen. And we have a responsibility to own up to that. We have a responsibility to face the reality of that. But sometimes we think in the Christian church that bearing one another's burden is coming in, and when somebody acts inappropriately and gets caught in a trespass, we cover it up for the sake of Christ. And this does not mean cover up. This does not mean Watergate. Or whitewater, or whatever you want to make the cover-up scheme be. So it does not mean relieving others of responsibility. It also does not mean rescuing others from their consequences. Another thing that I think we've done in the church is that when someone's acted inappropriately, they've been caught in a trespass, and you who are spiritual are to restore such a one, we've taken that almost as rescuing them from their consequences. That is, we will take away the consequences. We'll clean up the mess so that they don't have to. You know, that's kind of like someone living with a drunk. And the drunk gets drunk and comes in and just pukes all over the place. And before they get sober, you clean up all the mess so that when the drunk finally wakes up and becomes sober, they don't even know that there ever was a mess. and it's taking away the consequences. And sometimes in the body of Christ, in churches, I believe that what we've done is we've taken this bear one another's burdens and said what that means is let's rescue them from the natural consequences of their choices. Well, another thing that I think that it does not mean is more for the person who gives the help. It does not mean helping others in order to get value for ourselves. Have you ever met people who helped other people because it gave them purpose in life? It gave them value. It gave them worth. You know how you know that that's true? They talk about it all the time. You know, you ever been around somebody that talks all the time about how they've helped other people? You know, well, I did this for so-and-so. Well, I did that for so-and-so. Well, old so-and-so needed some help, and I went and helped them. And I just, the reason they talk about it all the time is because it gives them value. It gives them worth. I want you to know, this does not mean getting value and worth from what you do. So don't bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ and think, I feel good about myself because of what I did for Joe. If Joe's not going to do anything, and he's going to go talk on the telephone, and he's going to come over and point, and he's going to go to lunch. Hey, Joe's got some responsibility and some consequences that follow that. And if we're going to lift the couch for him, and we're going to move the couch for him, and we're not going to confront him, let's don't get value from the fact that we're helping him. Because we're not. It also does not mean carrying another's burden out of guilt. You know, sometimes people in the church today, boy, this is really something that I've seen that's happened and continues to happen in organized church, and we'll deal with it. We'll deal with it. There's no doubt about it. You know why? We're human. We'll deal with it because we're human. Someone comes along and because of blame or manipulation or something, they make us feel guilty and make us or imply that it's our responsibility to carry their burden. And we end up carrying the burden out of guilt. Because, well, after all, they said it was our fault, or they said it was so-and-so's fault, or they manipulated this, or they promised they would do better. Do you know there's a well-known church, and it was started, and it grew to a mega church, and it was a well-known pastor, and it's in the state south of here, and if I said it, you'd know who it was. And this pastor fell, moral problem, caught in an affair with another woman, and fell. It was public. It was front page newspaper stuff. You know, the thing that happened was that after this person fell, it became public knowledge, there were three other individuals that came forward and said, you know, we all three had caught him in affairs with other women. And in the process of confronting him, he promised he'd quit. He promised it wouldn't happen again. He blamed it on the stress. He said that my reputation, the reputation of this great church and everything was on their shoulders and on their head. If they talked about it, he would promise to quit. You know, out of guilt, they carried the burden of what they knew to be true and continue to see in reality. And out of guilt and manipulation and blaming, they ended up carrying the burden. This does not mean carry the burden because of guilt, manipulation, or anything else like that. It also does not mean that we are to expect retribution or reimbursement. Sometimes we carry the burden for someone in the church. I've seen this a lot of times too. You get underneath it and you start helping them carry the burden, and the whole idea is, well, God, when are you going to get them for doing what they did? When are you really going to get them? Look at what they messed up. Look at how they messed up. When are you going to get them? I want retribution. I don't mind carrying this burden, God, but I want retribution. It does not mean that. It doesn't mean reimbursement either. Sometimes you have the idea in the church today that if you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You know, I'll carry your burden, you carry my burden. Now, if things work the way it's supposed to work, that's a reality that happens. But you know what? If I carry a burden expecting you later to carry my burden, and you don't come along and carry my burden, now I've got a problem. Because, see, I carried your burden expecting reimbursement. rather than just simply out of love, grace, and truth. Well, three things that it does mean. Number one, it means accepting others where they are. Someone's caught in a trap, you accept them where they are. You don't expect them to get out. You don't say, well, get out of the trap and then I'll accept you. You accept them where they are. You don't condemn them and you don't condone what they did. Acceptance is in the middle. Acceptance is not condemning. Acceptance is not condoning. Acceptance is saying, hey, I know where you are, and it's all right with me. I'll love you anyway. I'll extend grace to you anyway. I know you're caught in a trap, and I'll help you. It's not the idea that I'll foot this burden all by myself. It's the idea that just says, hey, I know you're going to be under a load. I want you to know I'm here to help. That's acceptance. And it's something that cannot be simply communicated with words or with action. It is something that is experienced because of a relationship that I've experienced with Christ. I know I'm accepted, even in my sin. He doesn't reject me. He doesn't condemn me. He doesn't condone my sin. He just simply accepts me where I am, and therefore I can accept other people where they are. It also means loving others enough to help. And love does not mean relieving them of their responsibilities or rescuing them from their consequences. What love does mean is I'm there to help pick up the pieces when it all falls apart. And sometimes it has to all fall apart. If we clean the mess up before they ever know there's a mess, if we never confront the individual who doesn't do anything, or if we don't ever confront the individual who tries to do it all, then we're really not loving them. Loving people means loving enough to help and give them help that really helps. Bearing one another's burdens, the third thing it means is being truthful. You see, Jesus Christ gave us the ability to live in reality rather than make-believe. Lost people live in make-believe. You know that? Lost people believe that they're good. Lost people believe that they're probably going to go to heaven if they believe there's a heaven. Lost people live in a make-believe world. They live in a world where they think if they do good, they get good, and if they do bad, they do bad. They get bad. They think there's retribution given, justice given. God gives us, through Christ and our relationship with Him, the ability to live in reality, in truth, because Jesus is truth. Truth is, Chuck Andrews, you're a sinner, and without Christ, you're bound for hell. The most loving words that truth can pronounce, except for finishing the statement. But Chuck Andrews, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you in order to give you life and to relieve you of the guilt and the penalty and ultimately the presence of that sin. Truth gives us the ability to live in reality so that when someone we know needs burdens that are heavier than any one person can bear, we know why they're bearing it, why it's there. And we don't step in to relieve it. We don't step in to rescue it. We deal with it honestly, regardless of what they say, regardless of the blame that they may try to put on it. So sometimes what we end up doing is we face them and we confront them and we deal with it. Remember that gentleness in verse 1, as we restore such a one in spirit of gentleness, gentleness is power under control. And power under control knows to what extent gentleness really can go. For instance, if I'm going to shake hands with an 85-year-old woman who is very frail, I'm just going to reach over and grab her hand lightly and shake her hand. But if I'm going to shake hands with a friend of mine who, you know, we may be horsing around a little bit, I know I'm not going to hurt him. He knows he's not going to hurt me. We're still gentle with one another, but when we lock on, we start squeezing. You know, we're going to see who's man here. We're going to see who's tough. You know, we're not going to try to break each other's finger, you know. But we know this gentleness. When I'm with a child and I get down in this, on their level, face to face with them, and have to say, hey, listen, don't throw the ball in the fellowship room because there's too many adults here. You see, that's gentleness, but it's restoring. It's confronting. But if I go to a person who's caught in an affair, and I go in and I say, listen, Joe, listen, Mary, something's wrong here. I see that you've fallen. And if Joe or Mary, somebody starts blaming it, if they start saying, oh, well, it's really not my fault, really it's their fault, really it's a problem at home, really it's the pressure at church, or the pressure at work, or the pressure at school, or whatever it seems to be. You see, I know, at that very moment, I know they're not dealing with reality. They're trying to squirm out from underneath their responsibility. They're trying to move out from underneath the consequences of their action. And if I think bearing the burden is relieving them or rescuing them, I'll step in and do that. But you know what? If I know that bearing the burden is dealing with reality, I say, wait a minute. No. Nobody made you sleep with that person. Nobody forced you to. You made a choice. Now you got to deal with it. In truth. Also, I think what this means is I need to be truthful with myself. I need to be truthful with whether or not I'm willing to carry this burden for this person. Do you know that? I believe that as a believer in Christ, it's a lot more important to be truthful down deep within and let it come out about whether I'm willing to carry your burden than it is to lie. You know, to be able to say, oh yeah, I'll help you, and never help you. And never intend to really help you in my heart. I think it's more important for me as a believer in Christ to really deal with the truthfulness of my own motives and say, no, I really can't right now. Or no, I won't right now. Than to say, yes, I will, and not. See, Jesus dealt with that in a parable when there were the two sons. And the one son said, oh yeah, I'll work the vineyard. I'll work the vineyard, and he never went. Remember, the other son blew up about working the vineyard, but then he went and worked the vineyard anyway. And Jesus said, who was more faithful? The one who was honest and went and did it anyway. See, Jesus was honest in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, I do not want to do this, but I'll do it if you say I have to. I believe he was just as honest as he could be. And I think that's the truth. That's the idea of truthfulness, is that if I'm not willing to help you bear your burden, I just need to be honest about it. You know, in church life, it's that way. I would rather somebody be truthful with me. If I ask you to do something and carry a responsibility, I'd rather you just say flat out no than to tell me you will and then not do it. And there's always people in church life that are like Joe, that stand around and have a conversation to deal with, or talk on the phone, or point over there and have a good idea. That box needs to be moved, and oh, well, it's lunchtime, and I've got something else to do, and I've got a schedule to keep, and oh, there's things that need to be done. And they never help in the body of Christ. And then there's always other people in the body of Christ that always want things done there and there and there and this and that. Oh, well, I'll just do it myself. I'll relieve everybody of doing it. I don't want anybody to do anything more than me. I have to do it all because nobody else can really get it done. And after all, I can do it. Self-sufficiency. But there are people in the body of Christ that say, look, I'm willing to help. If you'll let me help, I'll help. I'm here. You see, there's the commitment to live in truthfulness there. And in the body of Christ, we need to carry our own load. What does that mean? It means that we don't need to shirk our own responsibilities. You know, if I find someone caught in a fault, caught in a trespass, do you know whose responsibility it is to help that person? The person who catches the one in the trespass. You know, I don't run over here to so-and-so and say, hey, did you know so-and-so's caught in a trespass? Did you know that old so-and-so's ending up in a situation over here? Don't you think somebody ought to go help him? He said, no, if I'm the spiritual one, I'm to restore. Personal responsibility means carrying my weight in the relationship. See, next week I may be the one caught in the trap. I want to be treated, so I should treat the way I want to be treated. Carry my weight in the responsibility and in the relationship. And in the church life, it's the same way. I need to carry my weight in the relationship of this church. Although that's not all that it's talking about. I don't believe that's what it's talking about. But that's reality. That's truthfulness. In a marriage, a husband and a wife must carry their own weight in carrying the relationship. You know, in mine and Stella's relationship, my weight's getting more and more all the time to carry. So... she keeps baking, I'm going to keep eating, I guess. In church life, every single member of this church has a financial responsibility to the whole. I don't know what that is, because it's individual. It's between you and God. But you know, every single member has that responsibility. Every member of a family has a responsibility for chores, for jobs that need to be done, for ministry opportunities. Isn't it interesting sometimes that the first time the hint of physical labor comes along in a church, somebody's got a prayer ministry with somebody else? Isn't it interesting how sometimes that's the only time that they have a prayer ministry is when physical labor comes along, so-and-so needs prayer. I need to go pray with them. You know, I think in that situation, they're not carrying their own load. They're not carrying their own day pack. Well, another thing that I think carrying your own load means is bearing the consequences of your own choices. See, if I'm going to carry my own load, then I know that my actions have consequences, and if I do inappropriate actions, then I have to bear those consequences. And I shouldn't shirk them or expect you to carry them either. You know, y'all know about my excellent driving ability in my vehicle. And I learned a long time ago that it was ridiculous for me to get mad at the police officer for doing his job. You know, if I know I drive fast, then I know the consequences of driving fast is getting a ticket. And if the police officer is doing his job and gives me a ticket, why would I get mad at him for the consequence of my own actions? But you know, church life is that way sometimes. Someone gets mad at somebody else in the church because they simply did their job. They confronted them when they were caught in a trespass. And they get mad because they've been caught, because they've been confronted. See, when I know that it's my responsibility, I carry it right here. And I don't expect anybody else to carry it. I do it right here on my back. Carry it myself. And so I'm willing to do that on the basis of love, grace, and truth. All the relationship I know that Christ has with me, I'm willing to extend to the body of Christ. In this area of bearing one another's burdens, it is my responsibility to help people bear burdens. It's your responsibility. As we are family together, we lift one another up. But it's also each one of our responsibility to wear our day pack, carry our own lunch, and not expect somebody else to give me their lunch. Carry my own medical supplies, don't give somebody else. See, that's what they did in the military in the first century. They carried all of their own personal supplies right here. And if they didn't carry their day pack, they just went hungry. They didn't get their lunch. They didn't get their medical supplies. In the body of Christ, sometimes what we've done is we've helped them not learn the lesson
about carrying their day pack. We've given them our sandwich. We've given them our medical supplies. And then, in the end, when we're hungry and we need medical supplies, we're angry because we've given it away and nobody's given it back to us. When in reality, we shouldn't have given it away in the first place because it was somebody else's responsibility. Now, I know that there's a danger with this teaching, just like there's a danger of grace, right? There's a danger because we can all look into each other's life and see in every one of our lives that we deserve what we get. You know, we all deserve what we get. But you know, that's the great thing about grace, is I'm not worried about you getting what you deserve. I'm simply worried about the relationship, living in love, grace, and truth. And that is how we learn to live life to its fullest and with one another in the body of Christ, and not end up in a codependent system that lives off of one another's frailties and weaknesses. But we harmonize on our strengths.